Now, tonight I'm going to talk about the tongue. Oh, no, 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 don't do that, right? How many lessons have we heard about the tongue? Well, I'm going to take a little bit different approach. Using the tongue properly. I don't think I've ever done a lesson on that. Not a key focus lesson on using the tongue properly. We usually get up here and pound and yell and rant and rave about, you know, not controlling the tongue, and it is very difficult to control. But very few times do we actually spend a full service on looking at using that tongue properly. Properly. So as we consider the lesson tonight, again, like I said, follow along with me. I hope and I pray that this will be more of a positive lesson than the typical negative lesson you get from the tongue lashing and lessons on the tongue. So, using the tongue properly. First and foremost, use your tongue properly. We see in Ephesians 5 and verse 29. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord, the church. Yes? We don't want to bring harm or affliction to ourselves physically. But you know, oftentimes we do because of an unruly tongue. So I think it's very important. I needed this lesson back when I was a younger man, and I still need it today, but especially when I was younger. So in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, we need to be looking diligently lest any man fall from the grace of God. You know, let's just stop right there a minute. Falling from his grace. You know, that's a horrific event that has happened in it. Fall from the grace of the Almighty. Well, Lord, you know, I'm a weak and lowly human being, you know. We like to try to make those excuses sometimes, but think about how serious that is. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And boy, that's where it comes from, isn't it? That tongue. I can't think of anything more bitter than that. And thereby many be defiled. I know y'all, most of you have heard me say a regret I've had when I was a young man to a dear friend of mine that I gave a tongue lashing that was very unfitting to him on one weekend. And the following week, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. Never had an opportunity to approach him and say, I'm sorry. But we need to be mindful because the root of all bitterness comes from that tongue. We need to be looking diligently. Diligently, that means conscientiously looking to God for his grace. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, I may be what you call a preacher standing up here before you, but I'm no different than any other man. And I too must look in the mirror each and every day. And I have to see what I see there. So we need to be a fearful people, recognizing the promise that has been given to us through the grace of God that we will have rest someday. We also see proper use of the tongue applies to every day, not just today on a Sunday, right? I know how it is. Walk out here on Sunday and next tomorrow morning you go in, enter the secular world and maybe a school system or a work system or some other system, and you're just thrown to the wolves. There's all kinds of jokes and words being tossed around, and it's just like you're walking through a cesspool sometimes, you know? But we need to be mindful that proper language needs to be applied every day, in every event, in every way. Also, the tongue is used for confessing sins, isn't it? And we need to be mindful of that, as we see in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Now, I love Brother Jason as he brings out the relationship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be there for one another and to exhort one another and to help one another. And not to be fearful of being chastised or beat up over it, but we need to confess our sins, our faults, one to another, and pray one for another. You know, this old life is not easy. I can't do it on my own. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. It's critical. And that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know what? I've seen that happen time and time again. Those that are dealing with very severe difficulties, if there's earnest prayers lifted up on that person's behalf and from their own heart, I've seen marvelous things happen. My youngest grandson, we didn't even think he would be alive when he was born. And if he was alive, he would be so grotesque to even look at, you couldn't even tolerate to look at him. But you know what? When he was born, he's a beautiful child. No, he's got some difficulties, but God blessed us. So, anyway, as we look in 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. But, and this is a conjunction that says we need to do something here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And there ain't nothing worse than deceiving your own self. The truth is not in us. But, I'd put that but in there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, using the tongue to confess our sins, confess our faults. Nothing at all wrong with that. That's what the Lord expects to be done. That we recognize, Lord, I have sinned against you. Confession of sins allows for healing and growth. You know, you may say, well, I confess my sins all the time. You know, and you say it under your breath, you know. But there is nothing like articulating verbally, audibly, your sins. Maybe our conscience isn't quite right, and we just kind of meek and shallowly say within ourselves, Lord, forgive me. I'm not saying that's all wrong, but to actually speak it, say, Lord, I have sinned. I need you. Help me. Confession admonishes others as well. I think back in April of 1980 when I obeyed the gospel. I had no plans that evening to obey the gospel. Brother Bill Cavanagh was speaking in Griffith, Indiana. And for some reason that night I came forward and I confessed I needed Jesus. That very evening another young man, and I can't remember, I think it was the youngest son of Paul Good. So I don't know if any of you know, remember Paul Good, great man. He came forward as well. And then several years afterwards, I bumped into him someplace, I don't remember now where. He said, Paul, you know, when you came forward that night, that gave me the courage to get up and come forward too. And we need to recognize that confession is good. You know? Nothing to be ashamed of. Well, maybe have shame, but nothing that no one else hasn't experienced either. Also, using the tongue to encourage others. And this is one thing I really enjoy and I appreciate here. Many kind and good words. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, Paul tells them there, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what? I can't think of anything more pleasant in those rough times, difficult times, and those trying times, that those kind words just make a whole lot of difference. It just kind of brings things around. Much better perspective. Kind words, encouraging others. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Again, that's where the family of God comes into play here. Together, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And edify one another. That's to teach and to educate one another, even as also ye do. Yes, we need to recognize that we need to use our tongue to encourage others. You know, oftentimes, I've said this a few times, is, you know, we go out hunting for those poor lost souls. We shouldn't be hunters. We should be fishers. Fishermen should be fishing for them. We're not hunting for anybody, but we should be fishing for them. Bring them in. And that's where the comfort of encouraging words from the tongue makes all the difference in the world. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Now, let me put that down here. As we're told in the Hebrew writer there, he says, I normally can't quote it, but I can't do that tonight. As 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as together as the manner of some was, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see that day approaching. Yes, that is so true. And going down to our very presence encourages. And it does, doesn't it? Now stop and think. Now please, don't take any offense. But to me, as I look at the numbers this evening, compared to this morning, it is rather discouraging. But we're in those situations where we've got a great many that's just unable to come out after dark and be out their limitations. But it is encouraging, isn't it, when we're all come together? I remember oftentimes we'd be in the mid-40s in here in this auditorium. And the singing and all the camaraderie and everything. It's very encouraging. So, the encouragement of being together. Now, this also implies that we should speak words of encouragement, too. And as I said, starting out here, that y'all do a wonderful job here of encouraging. So, who have you encouraged today? That's a question we should ask ourselves each and every day, shouldn't it? Who have I encouraged today? Who have I given that cold cup of water to? Who have I offered up sweet prayers for their behalf? And the tongue needs to be used to defend the truth. You know, we yakety-yak a lot. But how much of that yakety-yak do we do standing for the truth? Or do we just kind of flow with the crowd? As we see in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, We're told there. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, why are we going through this Wednesday night Bible study? Ready to give an answer? That's why. We should be quick and ready to provide answers, words of encouragement to those, and words of truth and wisdom about God's word to those that ask. Defense. It can be termed as a military term oftentimes, but it can also be termed, used as a legal term in the court of law. We need to be in that court of the world defending our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his teachings. Now, I'm fearful that there's going to be a day coming where we will be persecuted here in this nation the way things are going for speaking the truth of God's word. But that's neither here nor there. It's all in the Lord's hands. But irregardless, we should be about busy with the tongue defending that truth. It requires a thorough knowledge of God's word. That means we need to diligently study God's word daily. Meditate upon it, reflect upon it, and apply it in our lives, and try it and test it. It requires a thorough knowledge of false arguments as well. And again, I'm picking on Brother McLamb tonight, but you know, he's very aggressive in coming to a better understanding of what all these false prophets are teaching about here. Where are they coming from? If you understand that, it does help to combat or defeat their arguments. It requires opening our mouth and being heard. It's one thing to hear the false teaching, but we need to stand up and say, brother, that's wrong. Do me that way. If I teach something false, I need to know it. I need to hear it. Stand up. That's what their tongues are for. And let me move on here. As we see in Jude, chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, Jude verse 3, it tells us there, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's exactly what we are to be about doing today. Just as the apostles and the inspired men left God's words for us, we must continue on. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul tells Timothy, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Yes? We need to be a people where our tongues are about defending the truth, standing up for what is right. Also, we are to use a tongue to teach the truth, aren't we? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realize this was not on. We need to use our tongue to teach the truth. How oftentimes have we allowed little opportunities to slip by? Maybe it's with a friend or a relative or a total stranger, when we could have injected the truth right there and then. We need to teach the truth. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. The truth we need to teach is that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what we need to be about teaching. basic. For with the heart man believeth, but unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There we have that confession again. Yes? We need to be all the time confession. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we treat one another, the way we act, the things that we laugh at or the things that we disgust over. We need to be about teaching others the truth. And you can't teach it unless you live it. The truth of the gospel is the best kept secret in this world today. Many do not understand it. Sister Terry, I love her dearly, sharing with me is her notes that she's putting together on various key points. I too have a list of outlines I've compiled together. I've probably got 30 or 40 of them by now that I keep on different subject matters and things, and someone has a question or a comment about it. Here, let's sit down. We'll talk over the phone, we'll meet together, or I'll give you this copy of all the scripture. Look at it for yourself. Teach them. You can save lives of others that are around you. And, you know, be honest with you, that's probably one of the hardest ones to do sometimes. Teach those that are near to you. But those could be the ones that we have the best opportunity with. My father-in-law, he was a great influence to me as a Christian. And his sister never obeyed the gospel. And I don't ever recall a time when the two of them were together, him and his sister, that he didn't make some sort of remark or comment regarding the state of her spiritual well-being. He did it lovingly. He wasn't nasty, mean about it, but you know that you're wrong. So, as we see in Ephesians 3 and verse 8, unto me, he says, who am least or less than the rest of all the saints, is this grace given? Yes, Paul was not a key player, but he ended up being a key player among the apostles. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, those that were kind of the despicable class in the world in those days, that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Yes, let us not be judgmental as to those that need the word. Everybody needs a word. That's what our tongue should be used for, right? So, as we consider tonight, and we'll close with these verses in Revelation. Look in Revelation 4. A little bit of lengthy reading, but not too bad. Revelation 4, verses 7 through 11. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him, that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns down before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Yes, we need to give praise unto God. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 14. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, saying, every one of them, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, hear I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four beasts and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Yes, our tongue should be about praising God, giving him the glory, expressing his greatness and his value as we know it is, as we have that in our lives. And it would take truly all eternity to begin to express the gratefulness and thankfulness and the love for him. So, we are allowed to begin doing this even here on earth, giving praise unto him while there's still time and opportunity. Right? So, as we look tonight, use your tongue properly. Confess your sins. Encourage others. Defend the truth. Teach the truth. Praise God. That's what we have to offer. If there's anyone here who's not obeyed the gospel, I'd like to encourage you to do so. Because it is a great blessing. Tremendous blessing. To have such an awesome God. Now, Diane doesn't like for me to use that word awesome. But he is. He's a loving God. And I'd like to encourage you to consider that bountiful love that he offers to you. If you've already been obedient unto Christ, let us be mindful of properly using our tongues. God gave us the ability to speak. God has given us the faculty to reason and understand. He's given us the senses and desires and the love to want to talk to others, to encourage and to help them through difficult times and to teach the truth before it's eternally too late. God has blessed each and every one of us with that. So we need to use our tongues properly. If you've not been doing so lately, I think you need to stop and consider what a blessing God has given you for Him. If anyone here has a need, we'd be happy to pray for you and pray with you. Come forward. All together, we stand and sing.